Welcome to another edition of Geopolitics and Empire. A reminder again, I need your support to continue producing and developing Geopolitics and Empire. You can do that by becoming a paid subscriber on Substack. That's the best option. $5 a month or $50 a year. We're doing supporter only stuff like weekly Zoom calls, and there's a private chat. You can buy me a coffee and send reinforcements as well via donor box. And a shout out to Kevin, Jeff, my podcast guest, Dr. Lee, Mark, who's out there in the country of Georgia, and retired sovereign analyst Jonathan, and the Sills family for becoming paid subscribers on Substack. We're now joined by Dr. Joseph Sansone and Karen Kingston, who are working hard to stop the continued dissemination of the COVID bioweapon, or as I like to call it, the Pentagon juice or DARPA gene therapy. Welcome, both of you, to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
So, Joseph, we've spoken many times on TNT Radio, and it's the first time I'm talking to you, Karen, but I've been following your work as well for many years. And sort of before getting an update on your fight, I want to revisit both your positions on the so-called pandemic, biosecurity state, COVID-1984. We've got some new listeners that may not be familiar with the past few years of my work here on Geopolitics and Empire, exploring the issue with guest experts. And over the weekend, I attended a funeral mass of someone I knew, a family friend here in Mexico who lived down the street, someone whose baby died last year after birth from complications. And this person just passed away less than 1 week ago at the young age of 42 years old from a heart attack. So, you know, at this stage in the game, I have to be convinced that it must be the jab that not only murdered him, but also caused his child perhaps to die. And, you know, not just that, I mentioned this previously, that a former colleague who also lives not far from where I am experienced two heart attacks late last year. He's still alive. And another colleague became temporarily disabled due to what she has now, a new permanent severe autoimmune disorder. They were forced to take the jab at my former place of employment. And so I feel this is not a joke anymore. This is not a conspiracy theory anymore. I was moved to tears by the young and now widowed wife of my family friend over the weekend, who's amazingly powering forward because of her faith in God. But to get both of your perspectives, you know, Geert Vandenbosch over the weekend came out saying, we're about to witness a tsunami of vaccine-related bad news. And then the SPARS pandemic simulation, I think, simulated this very thing happening around 2025, not to mention the controversial Deagle report. So where are you both when it comes to Operation COVID and anticipation of, a wave of deaths or disabilities?
Ladies first.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I recently, just to give kind of an update aside from Joe's legal battle in Florida, is I recently on my Substack did an overview of the 2020 U.S.-China congressional report, and it's a very important report. It was issued in December of 2020, and essentially this is related to what you're talking about, the tsunami of deaths and whatnot. What the report explains is, like, and I think with your background, geopolitical background, is the foundation of a lot of this has to do with does your nation, does America value human rights or not, right? And it's very clear from this report, and I think people are familiar with the Chinese authoritarian government, they do not value human rights. Directly from this report, I know this is kind of a long about way to update it, is the report clearly says that China desires for other countries to accept, if not praise, its authoritarian single-party governments as an alternative to the liberal democracy, and seeks to export elements of its model, popularizing internationally the norm that power, not rules-based accountability, is legitimate for authority. And if China succeeds in normalizing its view of governance, the result could undermine individual rights around the world, underestimating Beijing's intent to revise the international order based on its current capabilities, could risk delaying our response until it's too late to preserve the liberal international order that has allowed humanity to flourish. And the report specifically says that Beijing, meaning China, is ultimately opposed to human rights. And, you know, that's what America stands for. So we believe that our rights were given to us by God, that we have unalienable God-given rights. And this is a regime that's atheist and doesn't believe in human rights. What I found through this report is that China is the hub for the synthetic biology industry. And that's this gene editing technology, right? And in order for synthetic biology to be used on humans, as well as all biological life forms, it would have to go against the laws of the United States of America that uphold civil rights. And it also would have to go against the laws of the Bible and of our God, right? Because it involves the genetic modification of all biological life forms. And it's called the biorevolution. If you go to page 308 of this report, this is all related to the shots. It says in this report, which is a 2020 report presented to Grassley and Pelosi, it's a congressional report, rapid advances in DNA, rapid advances in different sectors of biotech, including DNA sequencing, DNA synthesis, CRISPR, gene editing, synthetic biology, and AI have led to a new biorevolution that will play a pivotal role in the economy of the 21st century. And the synthetic biology and the foundation of which is these nanoparticle technologies that people falsely call COVID-19 vaccines is a $4 trillion industry, and it is the future of the economy for the 21st century, right? So why did all of this happen? Make my long story short, is that if people were told that they were going to be injected with gene editing technologies to create sustainable human beings. So if you go to China's National Gene Bank, which has many Americans, millions of our DNA through the PCR tests and global civilians, it's the largest genomic database of all life forms. What they're promising, what they claim is the rise of humanity has caused the extermination of species. Humanity and all life forms need to be genetically modified for the sustainable development of human beings. So humans need to be genetically modified so that we don't harm other species or the environment. So what does that mean? I think everyone knows sustainable development of meat, of agriculture, of energy. It's an energy source, so it doesn't harm the environment. Essentially what they're saying is humanity become overpopulated, similar to a pestilence, you know, like vermin. So we need to modify them the way that you would give a rat like treats, and some of the rats become sick and die so that we can humanity can continue to move forward in a sustainable development, a responsible manner. So that's what the gene editing technology is being used for. And it's on my Substack too. And again, the Chinese National Gene Bank, as you go through it, it's very clear. The idea is that if they can genetically modify all life forms, everything from, you know, lettuce to fish to meat, it can be owned and patented into humans, and it can be controlled so that every species on the planet can be controlled. So that's kind of like the update. And prior to 2020, we would consider this crimes against humanity, weapons of biowarfare. But as this 2020 report, you know, clearly states, is that China, through the use of telecommunications, media, search and, you know, Google, technology, Hollywood, has convinced citizens from around the globe, including Americans, that the lies they've been telling us are true, and also to submit to this authoritarian regime. So Americans are quickly throwing away their belief in human rights and turning away from God. And I think that's a lot of what has to do with what's going on now and why people have not been more outraged regarding what you were just saying, witnessing the deaths of people that have been dying, that have been injected. So this is an overtake of, you know, not just our bodily sovereignty and national sovereignty, it's the overall psyche and belief systems and ideology that we hold, that I hold too. You know, many of us hold as Americans and God-fearing Christians, so and free citizens of the Western world.
Yeah, you just explained that thesis very concisely, and it crystallized a lot of what's going on, and so I can definitely see that. And just before jumping, just one quick thought: you mentioned China, and I've had a recent guest touch on this, Dr. Joseph Lee. Do you see any connection between, you know, China and the U.S. deep state that's corrupt? Like, where would you point to for this nexus sort of power when it comes to this project plan?
Sure. So in the report, it clearly explains how the Chinese government and the People's Liberation Army have subverted leaders in foreign governments and militaries. And what I think is interesting, it's very clear from the intelligence reports, they've obviously subverted the United States intelligence agencies. So in April of 2020, Dr. Mary O'Toole, she is an executive vice president at InQtel. InQtel is the CIA's venture capital firm, our slush fund, if you will. And they invest in biotechnologies and technologies, as you know. And what she gave a presentation in April 2020 to the intelligence community. And what Tara O'Toole said, that look, synthetic biology is the future of the 21st century. And in order for us to not be left behind, America needs to reevaluate the US government and our laws, because they will not allow us to thrive in the 21st century. So so she's advocating to be in alignment with the Chinese authoritarian regime, which opposes the concept of human rights and the concept of God, actually, as well. I mean, you can be punished for, sentenced to death for believing in God. So she's saying we need to be more like that in order to thrive in the new economy of synthetic biology. So Surgeon General Latipo was absolutely spot on when he called this the Antichrist technology, because it is blasphemous to God to modify the human genome and cause disease, disabilities, and death in his children.
And what you mentioned has been the theme on the podcast for a long time. Convergence. I've interviewed the director of the European Council on Foreign Relations, who talks about this, Anthony Sutton, where they're trying to merge East and West into one global totalitarian state. And I think you just kind of gave an example of that. Dr. Sansone, you know, your further thoughts on this, the damage that's being done, jumping to, I guess, your Hail Mary, the writ of mandamus or mandamus.
I consider it more like a sledgehammer than a Hail Mary. But I agree. This is the deep state. When you think of a deep state, just think of the Praetorian Guard with the Romans, except it's international. And so we got these figurehead elected officials, but they're just doing what they're told. And that's why you're seeing, you know, Iran and Israel and the United States and Russia all have the same dumb, unscientific policies when COVID came along. So this is part of a larger global depopulation campaign where they want to reduce the population 500 million or less. But I think in the process, look at it like a deconstruction, like a demolition of human civilization. And now the difference is, so these American and European globalists are in bed with these Chinese globalists. But I think that they're naive, because the Chinese, I think, are ethnically nationalists. Their ideal of nationalism is not the same as ours. And so that's probably not going to work out well for them, but in the long run. So you've got this depopulation effort, and they're trying to make us sicker, weaker, and dumber so we can't even resist. And they're going to kill off most of us. A certain amount of us they plan on keeping around for slaves, and the rest of us really for body parts, because I think deep down, probably because they are atheistic in nature and they fear death, I think these billionaire globalists are really experimenting on us to try to find a way they can live forever. Whether it's housing their consciousness in the cloud, or, you know, creating cyborgs out of human beings. Yeah. But we're the lab rats in that process. So just go read the first three or four chapters of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And that's what we're looking at right now. And so that's their plan. And they might be right. We might be left with 500 million standing. So my question is, who will be the 500 million left standing? These, you know, intellectually bereft, craven worms, or those of us who know we are have natural rights and are, you know, individual expressions of divinity, if you will, are willing to fight back? And I think that's the question. And that really depends on the people watching right now, what they do. whether they sit on the sidelines or they get engaged. And I'm terribly sorry to hear about your loss, because this is going on all over the place. And people are walking around numb, ignoring it, and that's problematic. People need to wake up and get involved.
Yeah, I mean, and some people don't want to, you know, even the person, our friend who's injured, doesn't want to entertain the idea that it was the jab. I was going to tell them, you think maybe it's what they made you get? And before I was even started the conversation, she was saying, oh, my immune system is so bad because of the autoimmune thing that now I can't get vaccinated. And I'm just thinking, boy, the Stockholm syndrome is so strong. And then maybe before getting to the writ of mandamus, just real quick, your thoughts on, I'm flying all over the place. I just recalled when you mentioned Praetorian Guard, we just saw in Canada yesterday, the RCMP come out in full force against Canadians protesting the carbon tax. And I actually tweeted, I even got a retweet from Naomi Wolf yesterday. And I said that this is basically the mercenary guard of the global oligarchs who are trying to implement these neo-feudal, you know, sort of carbon tax schemes, which is all related to the whole health and climate. But also over the weekend, I met with a Geopolitics and Empire listener and former supporter, and we were discussing the shedding. And both of you have been discussing this, and the listener was freaked out about the shedding. I've been a little bit less freaked out or fearful of the shedding, but any thoughts on the people who are not injected with this stuff? What can happen to us?
Well, one of our colleagues, Dr. Anna Mahalcia, specializes in injuries of the unvaccinated due to shedding. So, people do get sick and die that are unvaccinated. I don't think you should be afraid to live either. Personally, if I were single, I'd be concerned about being involved with somebody who's vaccinated, to be honest with you. That's not to stigmatize anybody, but the shedding is a threat all the way around. That's part of the reason why we got to get these shots immediately halted, because the people that are vaccinated, according to all the doctors that I speak to, patients that are treating thousands of patients, pretty much everybody that got the shot is developing an autoimmune disorder or disease. And so the people that have already been vaccinated are the ones who are at most threat for the shedding. So yeah, that's a real problem.
Karen, if you have any thought on that.
I think, in regards to the shedding, how it relates to the writ mandamus is that there's a 2015 document from the FDA called Design of Shedding Studies for Oncogenic, which is cancer, and viral gene-based therapies, right? And so this is considered a viral-like particle. That's a gene editing technology. That's how it's classified. And so it's known that if you inoculate someone with this virus-like particle that causes these disease, disabilities, infertility, and sometimes death, it's known that it can shed on other people. So we should have never been approved to be used in the general population. These were typically, this RNA-based nanoparticle platform would be used just in very rare individual cases, really, almost. And you would never expose to other people because then you can inoculate other people. So everyone has standing to demand that the shots be removed from their communities because they are being shed on. And that's defined, and that was known and defined by the FDA. So the concept, the term vaccine, the FDA does not have the authority to reclassify a product in order to lower the safety standards for a manufacturer or provide immunity. And that was recently ruled in 2021 in the Genus Technologies versus the FDA case from 2021. So in regards to shedding, it is a real thing, and protecting yourself, detoxification from the technology, it's being used in our food supply and stuff as well. So, you know, one of the most effective ways is fasting, you know, whether it's 12 hours, 16 hour, 24 hour, 72 hour, however long you can fast for. I use zeolite and I know a spray, and I also EDTA chelation is very effective. And that's Dr. Elmalchia has a number of substacks on that.
All right. Yeah.
I started with methylene blue myself, actually, for
anesthesia. Oh, yeah. I do methylene blue too. Yeah. So, but I wanted to comment before we jump into the case, because like this document is so important and not many people, no one's really covering it. But it explains, if you go to the China National Gene Bank, they even talk about the use of genetic technologies and DNA surveillance and digitizing the genome. You know, this is going to be owned by all, shared by all. And they blatantly show their alliance with the FDA. And we all know that the FDA ignored all the laws to conduct legal human experimentation, safe human experimentation, when they allowed Pfizer and they allowed BioNTech and Moderna to conduct these trials. They ignored all the laws to enable what we would consider safe, legal human experimentation in the United States. So by definition, that's criminal human experimentation. By definition, that's biowarfare. Now, the reason why they did that is because, again, synthetic biology, or as the Chinese National Gene Bank says, the sustainable development of human beings, it's foundational on using these nanoparticle technologies. And this the hub of this bio revolution is out of China. And I just want to point out, because it's related to laws that need to be upheld in the United States, is page 3 of the document. Again, I'm just going to repeat the name of it, is the 2020 Report to Congress, U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. On page 3, it says, the Chinese government is shaping and subverting the international governance system to align with Beijing's own principles, which directly oppose universal values and individual rights. The Chinese Communist Party seeks to dominate the development of these technologies, of emerging technologies. So nanoparticle technologies, RNA-based products. The CCP seeks to dominate the development of emerging technologies and ensure the norms and values for how these technologies are deployed further its geopolitical goals. So that's a really important point, that we've obviously been infiltrated where what we used to consider crimes against humanity, many Americans are saying, is public health safety now. No one should be ever injected with an experimental gene editing technology that can cause disease, disabilities, and death, and then they can shed on others. And certainly no child should have ever been exposed to do this. So to do so, it aims to establish China's leadership in international standardization bodies and export Chinese technical standards and design features. That's a different, section. China's influence over information and telecommunication technology, including technologies used in surveillance and the building blocks of the internet. So as we get information through here, provide like-minded authoritarian regimes with the tools to repress their own populations, control information flows, and support China's surveillance and data collection programs. So my point is, much of what people have been repeating, they absolutely believe is true in regards to, they believe that there's nothing you can do to stop Pfizer and manufacturers from criminally experimenting on human beings with gene editing technology. I believe people do believe this is true, that this was a U.S. operation, which is so false, because the United States of America is founded under God, under the laws of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, which protect human rights and individual sovereignty. So the American government and military was subverted, but this is not a military operation where there's nothing you can do. And the reason why people believe that is because the information we're being fed is changed our ideology and psyche, so that many people are actually repeating exactly what is needed for this authoritarian regime headquartered out of China to take over America, so that people no longer believe in civil rights. They no longer believe in the individual rights of others to not be harmed, right? I mean, so many Americans demanded that their children be pulled out of school and people be subjected to an injection. Now, even people on the freedom movement are saying, well, there's nothing you can do. It's a military operation. Again, I believe they believe it, but they were fed this information.
Does that make sense? That's pretty mind-blowing there. I never thought about that. And some recent past interviews that I've done that come to mind related to some of what you're talking about, people can go back and check my interview with Mary Harrington out in the UK, and what she talks about cyborg theocracy, meat Lego Gnosticism, and biolibertarianism, what she called it. I've talked to Stephen Mosher, Population Research Institute, who also talked about the China stuff, and Dr. Igor Shepherd, who doesn't really give interviews anymore. My interview with him was titled COVID is a Global Military Operation. We're Facing Genetic Genocide. And people can also check out my chat with Dr. Aaron Ariyanti, where he talks about the use of the smartphones as part of this whole project, the digital apparatus.
Report. That's all in this report.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check that report out now. I missed that. And I wanted to mention also something, what you were talking about earlier, this Twitter account, Desi, I forget her last name, she unearthed that in December of 2019, December 5th, I think, 2019, InQtel had a meeting to discuss how to leverage an epidemic to roll out digital health technologies. So there's just so much of this information out there. And Dr. Sanso and I didn't know what a writ of mandamus was, or mandamus. I've heard you pronounce it both ways. It's a remedy.
I've heard it said both ways. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and it's basically, I like the definition. I didn't know what it was. It's a remedy that can be used to compel a lower court to perform an act that is ministerial in nature and that the court has a clear duty to do under law. When filing a petition for writ of mandamus, you must show that you have no other remedy available. So, you know, what are the legal advances with the work that you're both doing, and where do we stand legally?
Yeah, all right. So I'm gonna kind of give you the overlay on what's going on with the mandamus, and we'll probably cycle back to Karen with some of the research that's in there. So mandamus literally means weak command. It's a Latin word. It always goes back to the Romans with me. But so we have this nice little thing called the Florida Constitution. And what the Florida Constitution says in there is that the Supreme Court basically has jurisdiction to do writs of mandamus when it comes to compelling state officers to do their job. And so our Supreme Court, our appellate courts, and our circuit courts have concurrent jurisdiction. And that's important because this isn't just about a court telling a lower court what to do. This is about our judiciary actually has the authority to tell our state officers to do their job when they're not doing it. And that's important. That's an important point here. So I filed this writ of mandamus on March 3rd in the Florida Supreme Court. And this mandamus outlines state and federal biological weapons laws, domestic terrorism laws, treason laws, federal genocide law, as well as murder laws being violated, also the Prescription and Cosmetic Drug Act that's being violated, which deals specifically with the adulteration of a product. I also put in for good measure the accessory after the fact law, because in Florida, if you're shielding someone from prosecution, or if you're like allowing a crime to continue, you now become an accessory after the fact. So now that when I point that out, because we provided all this evidence to them, now they must act. So let's look at this. So the Supreme Court did not, we had a moderately positive development at this point. The Supreme Court did not dismiss this case. They transferred it to the Circuit Court in Leon County, which is a trial court. I've spoken to a couple civil litigators here in Florida, and they saw this as a positive thing, because we may actually end up hearing testimony, which, you know, and I'm deliberately being low key on that because, you know, but it is possible that we might end up backdooring ourselves into a hearing about whether this is a bioweapon or not. And so that's big. And I'd also point out that
because I know this has been brought up on other interviews you've done. So I agree, like, it can be addressed as a bioweapon. And we all know that there are the ramifications for that are could be catastrophic. But not just to the manufacturers. Like, there's so under the Florida law, was it 490.? I can't remember the rest of it.
It's getting there, but go ahead.
Contamination, but misbranded is also under there. So this is really important. So the product can be removed from the market because it is a gene editing technology. That's how it would, you know, it would be classified if it worked as a gene editing therapy. And the FDA mislabeled it as a vaccine. And because it is a viral-like gene editing therapy, it's a weapon, it can shed on other people. So you have put the entire community at risk. So it can be recalled as being misbranded and not, not necessarily have the ramifications of causing of calling it a bioweapon under 790.166.
And I was getting there, but also that same law could be pulled just for being an adulterated product. So what we basically did was threw the kitchen sink at them, and we don't ask for anybody to be indicted, or just show all the laws that are being violated. We don't ask for indictments or anything like that. We just pull back and we're like, we just want these off the market. And because the Florida Department of Health has called for them to be taken off the market, you know, they've said that it's a threat to the human genome itself, an official Florida Department of Health bulletins. And like Karen said earlier, Dr. Latipo, our Surgeon General here in Florida, has described these as the antichrist of drugs. So we're going to say these aren't good for you and they should be taken off the market. So we'll see what happens. But I think moving it to the circuit court is a positive thing. Here's the thing, even speaking to attorneys here, this is a little uncharted territory because we've never had massive biological warfare carried out against the Florida population before that we're aware of. And although we haven't had sun a lot this winter, they are spraying because people in Florida know this too. It's not even like I think everybody knows it down here. But we'll see what happens. But basically what a main dame is, the court can still, they can still reject it, but I think the Supreme Court would have done it. But so this court can reject it. They can accept it and prove it, which means we won. More likely will be what's called an alternative mandamus, which is basically they're going to say to the other side, like, okay, tell us why you don't have to do this. Otherwise, you got to do this. And then the respondents would have to respond to that. And then we're into pleadings. And there's where we could end up getting witnesses and testimony and that kind of thing, which would be really big. I the odds are against us in any court we go into, I think. But I actually don't see this as a Hail Mary. I just don't think that anybody expected anything like this. And, you know, we did that banned jab resolution back in February, the first one of last year. And worked on that for like 18 months to be able to get that approved. But, we've had 10 counties in Florida. And I'm saying this because it's relative, because when you do a mandamus, you want to show you've exhausted other resources. So we had 10 counties in Florida pass this resolution calling these biological and technological weapons, calling for the governor to prohibit them, the attorney general to confiscate the vials and conduct a forensic analysis, which this mandamus is trying to compel. In the summer, I took our national armed grand jury petition with the evidence we had there, which also called for the shots to be taken off the market. And I sent that to all 67 county sheriffs, all 20 state attorneys, the attorney general, as well as the governor. Then again, in October, I sent it certified mail to the governor and the attorney general. Karen also had her sheriff's letter out there. In February, I sent the final demand letter to the attorney general, to the governor. And about that time, a couple months ago, I reached out to Karen and asked her if I could use all her info that's in the sheriff's letter she had out there. And that makes up the facts of the case here, which is 2/3 or more, of this document. And it's such a body of evidence there that it really is bulletproof. I don't see how the court can do whatever it wants to do, but I don't see how they could just ignore this. And I think if it would have happened, it probably would have happened at the Supreme Court, but we'll see. So we'll see what happens, but I'm cautiously optimistic. But here's the thing that I want to convey, Rory. If we get blocked here, I'm going to find another path, because I'm going to tell you right now, these shots are coming off the market in the state of Florida. I will not stop until I get these off the market. They are coming off the market. I've crossed the Rubicon on this. They're coming off. And if I have to ring the governor and the attorney general kicking and screaming, they're coming off the market one way or the other.
And I guess to get your thoughts on the wider wars, as Karen was laying out, it's this wider plan, project, transhuman, great reset, digital control. And I've had guests on like JJ Cooey, who's agrees with both of you that, you know, they want to experiment on us like alchemy to try to obtain immortality, which I don't think is never going to succeed. It's a fool's errand. I believe, but it's going to hurt.
The Gilgamesh, the Gilgamesh is the first epic that was kind of the theme in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt a lot of people along the way, as we're already seeing. And, you know, whether this goes ahead and stops in Florida, the injections, you know, I'm reading about a handful of in my other home, Croatian politicians trying to build momentum for an investigation in other countries. Reporter Paul Sperry of Real Clear Politics, I think he just tweeted out that, quote, Biden is mandating Americans reentering the U.S. give CDC contact tracing info or face criminal penalties, even though CDC's COVID health emergency expired in May 2023. Meanwhile, White House is meeting with pandemic experts over possible avian influenza outbreak. Here we go again, end quote. And so I wasn't able to find any further confirmation of that, except for Paul Sperry's Twitter account. But further thoughts on, you know, even if you defeat locally there in Florida that mandate, you said that can maybe cause other states to jump on that train or not. I mean, they might be pushing disease X. They're talking about avian flu, monkeypox. I mean, you name it, pulling stuff out of thin air. You got the WHO treaty.
But we're missing the bigger picture here. And it's something that's right in our faces. And for some reason, even many people on our movement are pretending it doesn't exist. And that is that there is a sector now that used to be in biotech, that's now converged with pharma, that's now converged with agriculture, engineering, and even finance, called synthetic biology. The foundation of that is digitizing the genome of all living life forms, including humans. Right. That report clearly articulates that BGI, on behalf of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, collected 35 million Americans' DNA using COVID-19 PCR tests and billions of people around the world. So there's this industry called synthetic biology. And synthetic biology, the purpose of it is to modify the genome of human beings and of all life forms. And it's being done under the guise of pandemics, and like those are virus-like particles that are being aerosolized or put in your food that are making you sick. There's a body of evidence on this, or under the guise of a safe and effective vaccine. It's a RNA-based nanoparticle gene editing technology, and we're calling something that is technology imitating biology and modifying the genome of ourselves and our children and of other life forms. And we're pretending it doesn't exist, even though it's a $4 trillion industry. But I think that's the bigger picture here. And I think this is Joe's lawsuit is bringing that to attention. Right. And I think that's why under contamination is misbranded. So there's not DNA contamination in there. Right. Dr. Latipo's right to say that these can edit the human genome because they edit the human genome. Pfizer's website says mRNA is a good fit for gene editing. We produce these proteins, the spike proteins, in the body for a short period of time in order to edit the genome. That's verbatim what it says on their website. You read their FDA application, biological license application. The mechanism of action is nucleoside substitution, right? And they say a 3' untranslated region is now replaced with this untranslated region, which is the nucleosides, which is AGTC, the genetic codes, the nucleotide substitution. That is the definition of gene editing. So prior to 2020, the US government and military and FDA and most people thought, and all Christians thought, editing the genome of a species is to the extermination of that species. And it's blasphemous. And it's a crime against humanity. And it's a crime against that life form, especially if shedding is involved. So that's the conversation that people just aren't having. And I think that Joe's case brings that'll bring it to light. The body of evidence that I put together shows that these gene editing technologies only could cause disease, disabilities, and death. I'm not going to ramble through all of it. I mean, I have it pretty much memorized, but documented from Pfizer's own database and the government's own database, There's about 10 million adverse events that are documented of different individuals in that lawsuit alone. Okay. There's over 16,000 sudden deaths in Florida that are documented in that lawsuit alone.
A lot of post research too, I think. Was that?
That is a lot of post research, and 3,500 within 1 week. So that's a 16,000 sudden deaths. So that's all documented in there. But I think what's also is Surgeon Len Lotopo, when he said that these can edit the human genome, they can because they're gene editing technologies. So the fact that they're gene editing technologies is a reason for the governor and A.G. Moody to have them pulled out of the community. Gene editing technology should have never been used on the entire population, adults or children, in Florida. And Pfizer explains how they use gene editing technologies. They can to cause disease, such as ATTR-CM, which is an amyloid protein myocarditis that's genetically induced. And the latest paper that Dr. McCullough published on myocarditis on his Substack said that 25% of those cases had left ventricular hypertrophy, which is congestive heart failure. So they had genetically induced congestive heart failure. So this is all well established that these are gene editing technologies and should be pulled. And anyone, when I've shown them the evidence, whether it was a sheriff or a commissioner or a patient, or victim, I should say, their immediate response when they look through the body of evidence was, how do we get these guys? You would have to ignore this evidence. You would have to have basically become, fell victim to the brainwashing of that document I just read, which is that you do not believe that human beings, any individuals have human rights. You don't believe that people have individual rights, and that authority for the sake of authority, meaning that we, the government and pharmaceutical companies can treat a person as they would treat anything that's expendable, any kind of energy source, right? That we are no different than a lab rat, or a cockroach. Like, you would have to look at the body of evidence and go, I do not see a difference between a cockroach and a human being, and I'm okay with people being genetically experimented on, disabled, diseased, and murdered. And there's nothing you can do. You would have to submit to the PSYOP of the Chinese regime. And a judge would have to do that.
We call them palmetto bugs here in Florida. But one just quick comment on the mandate itself. Now, Governor DeSantis, he can fight against this and expose himself as a total fraud, or he could. He doesn't have to fight this. He could actually sign what's called a consent agreement or a consent decree. He can basically say, look, we've looked at all this evidence. We essentially agree we're going to take these off the market. They're harmful. He could do that through the court. So he doesn't have to fight this. I don't have an axe to grind against Governor DeSantis. But I'm not going to let genocide to continue. I'm going to continue fighting against that. And I think it's important because, if this gets taken off the market here in Florida, Texas will have to fall next, and it will be a domino effect. Texas will have no choice, or they'll run Abbott out of office there, because the attorney general of the state of Florida, as Karen points out, the state of Texas, as Karen points out, Paxton, he's suing Pfizer because they lied to people and people died. So why is it still on the market in Texas? That's bizarre.
And I want to point out, I think this is a really good point, is that, Texas is suing Pfizer. We have a lot of action going on in Florida. And there was the BioSecure Act that Mike Gallagher brought up, pointing out WuXi Biologic, which is Pfizer's mRNA manufacturer. Reuters just said that one of WuXi's partners sold all of their intellectual property and data from one of their partners to the People's Liberation Army. That just came out on Reuters. So there's all this exposure, and there's all this exposure too around the harms of these mRNA nanoparticle injections. And what happened 2 weeks ago? The CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, the CEO of GSK, formerly GlaxoSmithKline, AstraZeneca, all these big pharma companies, they got on a plane, they flew out to China, and they pledged their allegiance to Xi Jinping and the Chinese authoritarian government, and tripled down on their investment. One manufacturer, I think, said they're going to open up three more manufacturing. I think Bourla says he's going to open up three more manufacturing facilities or partnerships in like Shanghai, right? So to me, that says, look, Americans are catching on to what's being done to them. And the industries are flying to China to say, protect us. We're invested in you, right? The use of synthetic biology and the mRNA nanoparticle technology, I mean, when I first read the documents, first of all, they were never safe. That was an entire lie. The data is so obvious. I would not have been wailing out to God if there was any indication that these things were safe to be used in any human being. You know, when I first, and that was when I, that was 3 years ago now when I looked at those documents, and I've learned a lot more since then. So they're not safe to be used in any human being. Americans are catching on to that. And again, it's fascism. Corporations are going to China to ask to pledge their allegiance and ask for protection. But this is so nihilistic that when you look at the body of evidence that I lay out, you know, in a joke put in front of them, you the judge would have to say, I hate humanity. I am a godless person, and I support an evil authoritarian regime. That's the only conclusion you can come to when you actually look at the body of evidence of what these injections have done in such a short period of time, and specifically the documentation that explains how they are editing the genome of human beings to cause disease. It's in their own documents. And the body of evidence meets the Dahlberg standard, which is in order to be considered credible in front of a court of law, the scientific evidence and clinical evidence needs to be standard for the industry. So what do we have in there? We have the manufacturer's own documents that they submitted to the FDA, right? So that's their own information. We have their own websites. We have their own internal databases, like Pfizer's 1.5 million of victims who were harmed and experienced over 5 million serious adverse events. Over 700,000 of which were neurological in nature, 1,400 of which were spontaneously induced genetic diseases. You can't get that spontaneously induced. So we meet the Dahlberg standard, you know, so the evidence is there, and the evidence is overwhelming. It is catastrophic, you know, and it's hard to go through it, especially when I go through the babies data, 344 babies between the ages of 6 months and less than 2 years, babies who were to get three of Pfizer's injections over an 11-week period, only three babies made it to the end of the trial. Reasons for discontinuation include hospitalization and death. How does less than 1% of the babies make it to the end of the trial? And they said this is safe for babies. And there's over a dozen reported instances of serious epilepsy. Some even had brain scans where they showed that the brain of the baby had misfolded and over and became smooth, so that we had permanent brain damage. There's reports of babies having a symptom of it's like dead baby syndrome. They died. So a judge would have to say, no, I'm sorry. I am for the extermination, the criminal experimentation of humans. I'm for crimes against humanity. There's no way to other. When you look at the body of evidence, you can't look away from it. And it's always been available. And we've just pretended it doesn't exist for some reason.
Yeah, and unfortunately, up until now, I think it's been demonstrated in all of our countries around the world. There are plenty of, well, a good number of functionaries who do seem to hate humanity, but again, it's our job to turn the tide. And I'm seeing more people when it comes to the gene edited, when it comes to humans, this gene edited technology. People are starting to compare it to GMOs when it comes to agriculture. Where, you know, what the question that what if people who do become gene edited then are legally owned by BlackRock and Vanguard? I mean, that's a whole nother question. You know, any other key points?
This puts us back to Brave New World, though, because what happens if, you know, because of this, the only way, I mean, Klaus Schwab has pretty much said that in a few years, everybody's going to be born in a test tube. So what happens if these people that all got the injections can't, after a while, aren't able to reproduce? I think this is, you know, this is, if we don't turn this around, we need to immediately stop these injections, find a way to mitigate the damage, and go after these bastards. Because if not, this could become an extinction level event for most of us. And like when we were at the 15th, we were at that event in villages with all the victims there. And I'm telling you right now, there's people in that audience, they're dying in the audience when you're talking to them. It's really hard. And there are people there that are like, a lot of these victims, because they're being lied to, they're being gaslit by their doctors and stuff. Like, they're looking out to see what states they can go to that have assisted suicide. That's how bad it is for these people. And you know, when I'm sitting here and you know, I shouldn't have to stand on my head to get the governor of the state of Florida to take this weapon off the market. It shouldn't have to happen, but you know, so I think the longer these people resist, the more painful it's going to be for them. Because, and I'm not saying I want this to happen, but the inevitable end here, because we have no recourse, is going to be like the French Revolution. We're going to have a hard time holding back the anger and bloodlust when these people realize what's been done to them and their family and that kind of thing. I think it's going to get very ugly. In that respect.
No, on that note, I just want to read something. This is from a April 14, 2020 report from Tara O'Toole to the Center for Statistics and International Studies. So it's part of the presentation of the intelligence agency, because, again, this comes down to people understanding the fact and the truth. And this is a battle to get. It's called the biorevolution. That's what the government calls the use of these technologies in synthetic biology. And the biorevolution is $4 trillion. But what she states in this 2020 report is the biorevolution is really founded on several core technologies that I'm going to simplify greatly. But it's all about being able to read, write, and edit the code of life, DNA. Biology is essentially programmable. You can alter the sequence, you can add genes, you can remove genes, you can swap them around, and it's become very popular. An RNA-based delivery method that allowed you to use RNA as a kind of platform to deliver new bits and pieces of genetic sequences inside the cell would be a game-changing inflection point in synthetic biology. And the COVID-19 pandemic is giving us a chance to test that out in humans. So this is from April of 2020, before the shots rolled out. It's also on Pfizer's website. The RNA platform, what we're calling a vaccine platform, is a gene editing platform. That's what it is. But the other thing is, synthetic biology, as Dr. Tara O'Toole points out, is the future of the 21st century economy. That's what we're fighting against here. That's why Albert Bourla and those guys flew to China. So again, I don't think this is a nihilistic viewpoint. I don't think most human beings, judges, I just think they don't know what is going on. I think some of them have this weird perception that perhaps the vials, maybe they were safe and effective for some people. Maybe it was just a contamination that the gene editing happened. No, it's a platform to edit the genome. And once it's actually used in other species, if you go to the China National Gene Bank, they explain. So if you use this RNA platform to change the genome of lettuce, it's no longer lettuce, by the way. Like, once you grow it, I'm not saying people that were injected are no longer human. I do believe you're still human. But you grow this lettuce that uses this RNA platform. Those virus-like particles, that synthetic biology, that's part biology, part technology, you're no longer eating lettuce. You're eating a new species. And that organism has these virus-like particles in it that, after you would eat that lettuce, it can then penetrate the cells and the nucleus of your cells in your body to then modify the cells in your body through the genetic sequences, right? So it's not just getting vaccinated. It's literally going to be in our food supply too, or in the water supply. But the place to start to stop it is with the shots, so that we can talk about this gene editing technology platform, this synthetic biology $4 trillion industry, which is going completely unregulated. And as China says, they want to establish the norms and values for how it's used, right? Which is that it can be used on anyone and forced on anyone by the government, regardless of whether or not it causes them to be disabled or killed. That's where it's going if we don't stop this.
I think it has to do with the metaphorization of the world. I've had on Alison McDowell a couple of years back, where they talk about tokenizing the whole world, you know, resources, water, everything, and blockchainization and digital twinning and all this sort of stuff. And I think what you're talking about merges with that. idea. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Nick Caturano at the Village event.
Yeah. Nick's the one that organized it. He and Dr. Vila.
Yeah, very cool.
But you know Nick? I didn't know that.
I had him on the TNT show before I left, like a month or two ago. Really cool guy. We really had a great conversation.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Cool.
And you know, any other thoughts? And you know, I did want to bring this up.
One thought, Rory. That is that this is actually really big news. This mandamus being filed. Now, again, the court can do whatever it wants to do. So I can't guarantee success. But the fact that this is a pending case right now in the circuit court here in Florida is really big news. And I'm going to tell you right now, I want people to just look at the media outlets that are not covering this, that are supposed to be on the right side. Because I'm going to tell you right now, most of them know about this. And most of those big podcasts and shows, they know about this because I know people who've sent them, either I'm contacted with them directly, some of these big publications, and they're still hemming and hawing about covering it, or some of these large programs, I've had other people sending the info to them. So they know about this. And it's not like I need to go on their show, but they need to talk about this.
Yeah.
This is something they need to talk about because we need to pressure DeSantis to take these off the market. And I'm going to tell you right now, people that aren't like participating in that are pathetic.
And I just want, Joe, you said that too, like people should be covering this. And I know that it's the term bioweapon that gets people to say it's such an inflammatory term. We don't want to use it. The reason why I used it originally is because it's a legal term. So if we can't identify what was being done to us and legally, you know, qualify it, then we can't stop it, right? So it meets the legal definition under 18 USC 175 and the legal definition of a bioweapon under 790.166. Okay. Put that aside. Again, going back to this biorevolution synthetic biology, Joe Sansone also has in there the misbranded drugs and contamination. So under misbranded, something that would be amazing is if the judge Surgeon General Lauterbach already said these are gene editing technologies. They go, look, the FDA manufacturers lied to the states. They said a gene editing technology was a safe and effective vaccine. And I've talked about with Joe this before. The states can then on that not allow the product into their across their state line. In 2018, Greenwich Biosciences got a drug approved that was cannabinoid-based called Epidiolex. Cannabinoids, marijuana, in many states, including Florida, were considered a Schedule I controlled substance, just like heroin, meaning it has absolutely no benefit and only risk. So they did not allow the product into their state originally, okay? So someone can say, look, the FDA and Pfizer committed fraud. They lied to the American people. They lied to Floridians saying this is a safe and effective vaccine when clearly all the data and the manufacturers say on their own websites and are, you know, the Florida Star and Health, so these are gene editing technologies. So let's pull them off the market. Then the next question goes, what do we need to do in the state of Florida and every state since the synthetic biology industry, this biorevolution, this $4 trillion industry has decided to not be honest with the American people or global population, right? Because it uses nanoparticle technology that we can't see. And they decided we're not going to regulate it. Well, in our state, we're going to regulate it. We're going to pass ordinances and we're going to pass laws that if you use nanomaterials, nanofibers, you know, nanoparticles, biosynthetic technology, smart devices, some people call them nanorobots, but these are new biosynthetic organisms. If they're going to be used in any products in Florida, you need to disclose the use of those products, you know, and if, you know, and you need to disclose any toxicity data. And specifically in regards to nanoparticle technology and synthetic biology, it's going to be banned in any medicine that's injected in people. You know, RNA-based synthetic nanoparticle technology should be banned in the food supplies because the food supply can then contaminate a human being, inoculate the human being. So there needs to be a discussion about the industry, you know, and I think saying that this was misbranded is a brilliant approach because, again, you say the FDA and Pfizer lied to us. What else is, you know, where else are these technologies being used that we're being lied to about?
And something Dr. Sansone was touching on, which was one of my last questions you both sort of alluded to regarding the alternative media, independent media, medical freedom community, you know, if you think it's important to comment or not, you know, I'm starting to be very cautious now, not with just, you know, the medical freedom community, but the freedom community as a whole. You know, I recently had on Dr. Joseph Lee, which, you know, is also he's a fiery character, and he brought this up. And you know, I'm not one to definitively generally come to conclusions in this space when discussing other apparent freedom fighters, because it's a gray, really a gray area. But what I can say, I think that I'm now extremely skeptical of many individuals or some individuals and operations. Do you have any thoughts or care to comment?
Quickly, I'll say, you know, a wise man once said, "You judge a tree by its fruit." And so I think, honestly, I think it's pretty pathetic that I'm doing this. I had literally in a week from now will be 1 year since they, you know, cracked my chest open like a soft shell crab, and I had triple bypass heart surgery. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't have to be doing this. And I'm not whining about it, but I'm just trying to say that people need to do more. And I'm not going to get into who does what or does anything like that. But there's people that are doing things and there are people who are talking. I do a little both, but I think you need to take action. And I'm going to say the people who are taking action are the people that are, you know, listen to. And I'm going to say there are no leaders to this movement. You are the leader. You know, put on your own white hat and save yourself, because otherwise you and everyone you love is going to die.
And I agree with you. People have to take action themselves, you know, and, you know, I don't mind sharing this. I mean, this was the writ mandamus, you know, a lot of that evidence was in my demand letter. So written, you know, to the sheriffs. And
a lot of copy and pasting, Rory, a lot of copy and pasting.
No, but I met with sheriffs and I, you know, and then a lot of people from the movement got involved and told the sheriffs, there's nothing you can do. It's a military operation. I had to leave the country. I was very aggressively threatened, you know, because I wasn't just talking. I was doing something to get the shots removed. And I just thank God for Joe, you know, for bringing this across, you know, getting it in front of a court, getting it across the finish line. But that being said, you know, something I had said over a year ago, and I have the sheriff's demand letter, which is a statement of facts, and maybe there's other formats we should put it out there in. Act locally, do something to take action, right? And there, you do have authority. We still are in America. Most, you know, not everyone in our governments and in the judicial branch, not everyone is captured, if you will. And, you know, you know your rights, know the authority that you have, bring this body of evidence and don't buy into all of this nonsense that there's nothing that you can do. There's a history of these being gene editing technologies. And I got to tell you, the other thing that I found alarming was over 2 years ago, I brought up that this is synthetic biology. These are nanoparticle technologies. And I was annihilated by the freedom movement saying, Karen's trying to sabotage everything by talking about nanoparticle technology, you know, which is the foundation of synthetic biology, which is what's in these shots. And I was like, how can you be an expert in mRNA, you know, and you don't know about nanoparticle technology, or that a cationic liposome is a artificially intelligent nanoparticle that can host a positive electronic field? Nothing like that's found in nature. So this is clearly synthetic biology and nanoparticles. And everyone's like, well, if you talk about that, we need to talk about these as vaccines. No, because the manufacturers have immunity under vaccines. The manufacturers have immunity under countermeasure and all that stuff. No, we need to talk about exactly what this is. And that's laid out in the statements of facts as well as all the harm, disability,
one quick thing to add is KarenKingston.substack.com, because she puts out a lot of info all the time. And mine's JosephSansone.substack.com. And I got the article about the writ of mandamus pinned right there. You click on that and you click on the case number link right in that article, and take this document and share it all over, because this evidence needs to be shared all over.
Yeah, your links are in the description, your Twitter X accounts, your Substacks. People should subscribe if they're not already. I hope that my audio podcast hosting provider, looking at you, SoundCloud, based in Germany, does not delete this. They deleted a conversation I had for the first time a couple months back. I interviewed Christia Grace, biotech consultant, last year, and SoundCloud took it down from the audio podcast ecosystem. I'm guessing they're using AI to transcribe the words. Let's see if this gets past the censors. Thank you both for the work that you're doing and for joining me on Geopolitics and Empire.
Thanks, Rory. You're a marvel.
I hope you enjoyed this Geopolitics and Empire podcast. The website is geopoliticsandempire.com, and I encourage you to sign up for the free email list that goes out with each podcast and every weekend with a collection of news headlines. The newsletter and website are our last lines of defense. We're being censored and deplatformed. It's nearly impossible to find Geopolitics and Empire on the Google search engine. We've been blacklisted. YouTube frequently takes down our videos with strikes. Facebook restricts our page. Reddit and Twitter take down posts. And after the Associated Press mentioned Geopolitics and Empire in a 2021 article co-written with NATO, our Patreon account was terminated. Vimeo also terminated our pro account. The best free way to help Geopolitics and Empire is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or elsewhere and subscribe to all of our media channels. You can find the video broadcast now on 5 platforms: Odyssey, Rockfin, Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. You can find the audio broadcast on the podcast ecosystem: SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, and so on. My current favorite social media channels are Twitter and Telegram, but you can also find us on Gab, MeWe, Minds, Float, VK, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Finally, Geopolitics and Empire is in dire need of funding to continue. You can leave a donation, purchase a consultation with the host, or become a member to receive additional benefits. We also produce a weekly broadcast called Dissident Thinker for members and Rockfin subscribers only. We will continue to fight the good fight come hell or high water. Thank you for listening.